really see why this would be a message for this church. I didn't understand it. Because if anything, I think we're pretty loving people. You know, I've been around you all long enough. Pretty friendly most of the time. Most of us. And I've been guilty of this more times than I can count. We do this whenever it says here that we don't take account the wrongs. We're not keeping track of these things. We got scorecards too often in our own minds with people. Now, I'll be honest with you. They're probably well-deserved. When people have wronged us and we keep that in account, it's probably well-deserved. This happened here, and there was a gentleman that showed up here, okay? I knew this gentleman from whenever I was a kid, and hadn't seen him since I was a kid, and I was okay with that. He showed up here, didn't know I was here, at least I don't believe he did. I could be wrong. I didn't even see him come in. He came in the middle of the service. After the service was over with, I seen Mike hanging around back there in the back, not leaving this guy. And I'm so thankful for that. And he wanted to come talk to me. And Mike would not let him come talk to me. Mike comes up to me and says, "This gentleman back here wants to speak to you, but there's something not right about him." He says, "I'm going to go get him." He says, "But if you need anything, I'm going to be right over here." Okay. As soon as he started walking up towards me, I went, "Oh, no." This gentleman, now he himself did not do this. It was his family. Broke into my parents' home and started a house fire. Told people, he attended my dad's church, his family was telling people that my dad was sleeping with his sister. That there was more alcohol than food in our refrigerator. You want to hear the crazy thing is? People believed it. I know, crazy, right? Why? Yeah, people believe this nonsense. Here comes this guy. Now, he's walking towards me, and all these things went through my mind. Okay? I haven't seen him since I was 11, 12 years old. All these things come rushing through my mind. And can I be completely honest with you? I did not want to reach out and shake the man's hand. And you know what you all are probably thinking? I wouldn't have shook it either. But I checked myself quickly. So much so that Mike thought we were old friends. Because Mike goes, "Oh, you guys know each other. Great." And he turns around and walks away, and I'm going, "No!" I reached out and I shook his hand, and I'm just smiling. Can I be honest with you? Fear kind of gripped my heart. It gripped my heart. But when he turned around and he walked away, I can honestly say that I did not hate the man. The only thing I wished for him was the best. See, we think that forgiveness is forgetting. God gave us a memory. Matter of fact, if you look at over the lineage of Jesus, this isn't even on my notes. This is all free for you people. Okay? This is all free. I'm not charging you anything extra for this one. In Matthew, whenever he's going through the lineage of Jesus, he names Uriah. Matter of fact, so much so that it says Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. See, there's a difference between forgiveness and forgetting. There's a difference between forgiveness and resentment. I've had so many times in my life, people come up to me and say, I just can't forget what they did. And you know what? You're not going to. You're not going to. You're not going to forget what they did to you. But you can get to the point, because you have truly given forgiveness, you do not wish any ill will towards them. That's what this don't take account means. Don't hold on to resentment. That's forgiveness. Forgiveness in its easiest and most truest form is this: inviting the one who took the life of your child to the dinner table and bring him to the dinner table and let him eat with you. That's forgiveness. Because that's what the Bible says God's doing. He's preparing a table for us, all of us. Despite the fact that we're the ones that hung him on his only son on a cross, he's still inviting us to the table. That's forgiveness. That's what not taking into account means. You can't forget all those things that people done to you. I'm never going to forget the people who have wronged me. It's never going to happen. It's impossible for it to happen. But I can move on. I don't have to stay in that place. Maybe you've been divorced and you still are upset and bitter with your former spouse about what they did wrong, or whatever the case may be, or why they messed up. You may be completely right in being upset with them. But I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. You can be right, or you can go to heaven. That's unconditional love. When you don't care if you're right, you just want to forgive. That's the difference. That's unconditional love. In 1 Corinthians 13:7, it says, love bears all things. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This letter now is our letter, and it still helps us today. And when I read all these things, it makes me tired. Can I be honest with you? It just makes me tired. I got to love everybody. I got to love everybody. That's tiresome. There's a lot of people and it ain't easy to love. I know I am. Thank you for your enthusiasm. For some of you, this isn't any problem. While others like me, they're not quite ready for this. Some can psych themselves up to be patient and kind and not envious and boastful and rude. We're going to hope and believe and endure. Hallelujah. I just believe it all. Yes, Lord. I just want to slap them people sometimes. Can I be honest with you? I'm just being real. I don't necessarily like them people that are always happy. You know, the world is full of marshmallows and rainbows in their day. While others, like me, are saying, no, we're not. And who are you kidding? I'm not going to believe all things. I'm not going to hope in all things. But what is amazing is that we take portions of Scripture like this and think that, well, that's where I land. And we're supposed just to try harder. As long as we try harder and we're not supposed to get too close and just hope for the best. When the truth is, we attend every Sunday, no, and we need to be more patient and be more kind and more believing, but yet we just find excuses as to why we're not going to do those things. So what Paul is saying here, the term Paul is using is agape. This is a type of love that needs nothing in return. The only, most of you here are parents, the only type of way we understand agape, the closest thing that we understand agape is a love for a child. There's nothing that our children will ever do that will ever get us to the point where we stop loving them. We may not always like them, but we're never going to stop loving them. Whether they're in the house or out of the house, making poor decisions, making great decisions, whether they're a great success or the ultimate failure, we never stop loving them. Because we don't need anything in return. Christmas is coming. Am I going to be giving our kids Christmas presents? And you know what? The only thing I'm probably going to get out of the day is a thank you. And if I don't get that, I don't care. I don't need anything from them. Now, Anthony, he will tell you 10 times in a day that he loves you. Allie will tell you 10 times every day she can't stand you. But I know it's all in love, right? But he doesn't have to. I don't need it. My love doesn't change just because one tells me more than the other. Phileo love is the type of love you and I, most of us, know. It's conditional. Probably the reason why most of us got married. It also may be the reason why you're attending church here today. It's the type of love that we hear on all the pop songs that are sung today. And the truth is, the Corinthians are not even doing basic phileo love well. They are rude and they don't even do social decency. So what is Paul trying to make? And if we're honest about our human nature, this is our state. Romans 7:19 says, "For I do not the good I want, but the evil I do not want to do." And that's what I keep on doing. This human nature, what we say we're going to do, is tough to follow through on. And what we don't want to do is what we end up doing anyways. How many of you ever found yourself doing the same stupid mistake over again? I'm going to be honest with you. That's me. I would love to tell you that I'm a patient person, but then I'd have to come to the altar when we're done here and repent for lying to y'all. I am not patient at all. So I struggle whenever somebody says they'll have it done by a certain day and it wasn't done a day earlier. I get a little perturbed. Usually when there's 24 hours left to a date, whenever something needs to be done, I get really, really itchy. I don't sit well, and I don't wait well. How many of you have ever had to wait for a package, and the package says it's going to be delivered on the 14th, and the 14th comes, and you need it by the 14th because the 15th, it's too late? Yeah. How many have ever been friendly when you make that phone call? I've just had this recent experience with a company I won't name, but it goes along like Tiger Direct. And I ordered some cables that we need here for the church. The day came, I got an email, package delivered. I come home. There's no package on my front porch. So I call them. And I'll be honest with you, I was polite. I was really polite. Said, hey, I got an email saying that my package was delivered. We came home, was not here. And this is her exact words to me. Well, sir, go out and look on your front porch. It says it's sitting right beside your front door. I said, ma'am, I've walked all over my front porch, walked beside the porch, walked to the back porch. There is no package. Well, sir, I'll remain on the line if you could go and do this with me. Once again, I clearly stated to her, I'm not a blind man, and I have walked all over my front porch. That is not a very big front porch. It's pretty easy to see if something's sitting on my front porch. I have a swing there. That's it. So if something appears on my front porch, it's pretty obvious. Well, sir, if you would please. I said, ma'am, I just need you to send me my package. I paid for it. I paid for quick delivery. I need it here. Well, sir, the best thing I can do is I can launch an investigation. And this investigation is going to take 1 to 8 days. I said, okay. I hung up the phone. Day 2 goes by. Day 3 goes by. Day 4. Day 5. Day 6. We should have answers now. So I called, talked to another wonderful customer service representative. And they told me, once again, sir, we have launched an investigation, and this investigation should take 1 to 8 days. I said, it is one package. We're on day 6. And if you want to count the day that I called, it's actually day 7. I should have some answers now. I don't think you understand. I'm waiting for the stuff to be here. I said, I can't do anything until you all do your job and send me the package that I ordered. Kayla's sitting over there on the couch, and she went, shh. I gathered myself because the package did say New Hope Church on it. So I have to be polite still. I said, when can I expect this to be resolved? And she goes, well, I can give it to the original lady who launched the investigation and let them know that you are patiently waiting. That's right. I am patiently waiting for your delivery. 2 days go by. Still haven't heard nothing. So I call. And I said, my name is Brandon Wilbur, and here's my order shipment number, and I'm just wanting, oh, sir, we sent that out to you 2 days ago. Really? When can I expect it to be delivered? When is it going to be? Well, it says here that it arrived yesterday. She goes, let me do you a favor. I said, oh, I think I'd be so wise. Let me check in my notes and see what's going on. 15 minutes go by. 20 minutes go by. And who doesn't love the elevator music that they play on while you're on hold, right? I had lunch waiting for these people. And guess what? It got disconnected. No. Oh. As I said a couple weeks ago, I surrender all. I surrender all. So I call back. She goes, can I put you on hold? I said, that probably wouldn't be real wise. She goes, well, I see here in the computer that what's your address? I said, 624. She goes, well, can you walk across the street to your neighbor's house? We sent it to 625. They probably have both of your packages. Okay. So I walk over there. I've lived there for 6 years now. I have never talked to these people. They're the best neighbors. We go like this. Those are the best neighbors. Good morning. Good evening. That has been I didn't even know the man was married. Woman comes to the door. I'm going, I didn't even know you lived here. 6 years. That's how observant I am. So, she goes, oh, yeah, we just got it delivered yesterday. I said, well, they said there might be two. She goes, no. We just got the one that was delivered yesterday. I was like, okay. Well, I don't want to get charged twice. So I call these people back. I don't have a lot of hair to lose. Okay, we all know that, right? I lost a lot the other day talking to these people. And this woman had the nerve to say to me, well, sir, if you cannot find it, we will have to bill you twice. And I so politely said to her, ma'am, I understand that at the end of the day, you're not going to think about me and what I'm about to say to you. But I can promise you this. You charge my account twice, I will rain down fire. Do not charge me twice. Well, sir, the only thing I can do is put that into lost account. And if it just so happens that it gets to you, would you please just send it back to us? I said, I would do it happily. And I hung up the phone. I looked at my wife and said, I will never deal with these people again. How many of us have ever been like that with people? See, unfortunately, everything that we deal with today, we deal with in phileo love. It's conditional. It's on a contract. We look at marriages today. We look at them as a contract. It's conditional. If you do your part, I'll do my part. I remember when my buddy first got married. He goes, Brandon, can you explain something to me? I said, what? He goes, every few years I have to go and renew my driver's license. I said, yeah. He says, and then he has a CDL, and he says, and I have to pay extra if I want to renew my CDL. I said, yeah. He goes, and you have a CCW, right? I said, yeah. And he goes, and every so many years you have to renew that license. I said, yeah. He goes, why won't they let me just take the opportunity to think about whether or not I want to renew my marriage license? Because it's not phileo. It's not a conditional thing. It's a covenant. It's covenant. How, when we cannot even do conditional love well, how will we ever do unconditional love well? In verses 4 through 7, he repeats the word all. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Let's look at the depth of what Paul is really saying here. Does he simply want us to try harder at unconditional love? And the answer here is no. That's what the world thinks, that we should just try harder at it. We don't really need Jesus for that approach. That's called goal setting, motivation or passion. When we read this passage, we need to realize that we need a Savior. I need to be rescued. Why? Because what is being proposed is ridiculous. We're trying to love our family, respect a boss or a neighbor. And some of you may want to reject what Paul proposes here. But in Matthew 22, 37 and 39, you shall love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, can you honestly say you do all of that? What I think Paul is doing is similar to what Jesus did, to bring a man to the end of himself. You see, you can't do this without God. There would be no death. There would be no burial. There would be no resurrection in our lives unless we have God. You cannot live agape love without God transforming your life. I'm going to close with this. In 1 John chapter 4, in verse 7 through 12, it says this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent us his Son to stand in the gap for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Go through that scripture and replace the word love with agape. And you're truly going to see just how much God loves us. You can't agape unless you get God. Agape is the essence of our God. If you want to make or want to be an effective witness to your friends and family, get agape. Go ahead and stand with me. Kayla and I, we, she, Kayla and I, we, she,